This is the Thriving Dentist Show with Gary Takacs, where we help you develop your ideal dental practice, one that provides personal, professional, and financial satisfaction.
Welcome to another edition of the Thriving Dentist Show. I'm Gary Takacs, your show host. Very excited to have a longtime friend on the show, Dr. Bill Williams. Hey, Bill, how are you?
Hi, Gary. It's good to be on your show today.
You know, I am so excited to have you on the show, Bill. For our listeners' benefit, Bill and I have known each other for over 30 years. Bill, I think I had hair when we first met. Is that possible?
And mine was not gray.
Yours was not gray 30 years ago, but I remember like it was yesterday, the day we met. You imprinted on me in a very positive way. I had the chance to meet you and your wonderful wife, Sheila, and we've been fast friends ever since. And literally, I've been so excited about this interview today that I can hardly contain myself. So if you are a new listener to the Thriving Dentist Show, you are in for an amazing treat today. I like to think that all of our guests are very special, and of course they are. But Bill transcends that category, and I'm going to title the show. I came up with the title already, Bill. Would you like to hear what the title is?
Let's hear it.
Let's just do this. Now, we didn't talk about this ahead of time.
This is going to be a surprise for me,
this
too.
Is a surprise for Bill. I'm going to title the show, How to Stay in Love with Dentistry for Over 40 Years. What do you think?
I think that's a good title because that's right where I am.
Because it's true.
I don't want to quit yet. It's like too good to be true.
Exactly. Exactly. I want to give our listeners a visual. So we're going to talk about a bunch of things today. Basically, we're going to talk about your journey, which has been over a 40-year journey in dentistry. Like all journeys, it's had some speed bumps.
It's all good now and it's getting better.
It's all good and it's getting better. He's exactly right. Well, we're going to talk about Bill's journey and we're going to talk about the things he's learned to get him to where he is today, which is a very, very, very awesome spot. Currently, Bill spends his time doing a number of different things, but one of the things that he does is he continues to practice 2 days a week by choice in a practice that produces and collects over $5 million a year. We're going to talk about how you developed that from scratch, from zero to $5 million in a very short period of time. I think, Bill, that we just captured the intrigue of our listeners with that last statement. What do you think?
If I heard somebody say that 20 years ago, I wouldn't have believed them. But now I run into circles and tell you that it absolutely is possible and it's duplicable.
Absolutely. Well, I want to give our listeners a visual. This, of course, is an audio podcast, and you're listening to this. But I want you to, if you're listening to this, I want you to close your eyes, unless you're driving. If you're driving, please don't take your hands off the steering wheel. But if you're listening to this from your desk, at your desk, if you're listening to this at the gym, maybe you're out taking your dog for a walk, perhaps you're riding a bike, doing some exercise. Maybe this time of the year, you're even riding your lawnmower. If that's the case, I want you to close your eyes. And I want to paint a picture for you. And the picture that I want to paint is this. I'm here in my office in Scottsdale, Arizona. And my desk, Bill, probably looks a lot like yours because I do this Thriving Dentist Show. I literally have a radio station in my office. My desk looks like the dashboard of a 747. You can appreciate that view, correct, Bill?
I can. I see that kind of thing around here, too.
Exactly. Bill does radio, by the way. He's been doing a radio show, a dental-based radio show for a couple years, and so he knows what I'm talking about. But now, what I really want you to visualize is where Bill is. He's in north of Atlanta, Georgia. Today is right in the middle of our spring. We're recording this right in the middle of the spring season. And I have been in the very room where Bill is sitting. right now. I've been a guest, and I've been in the very room. And if you look out that beautiful glassed-in porch, what you would see is a gorgeous riot of colors. The azaleas are in full bloom. The dogwood trees are blooming. The peach trees are blooming. And Atlanta is known as the Peach City, and Georgia's known as the Peach State. Did I get that right, Bill?
Yes, Gary, and every street is named Peachtree Street.
Exactly. So if you were to look out Bill's glassed-in porch, you would see this absolute riot of color. It almost looked like Amen Corner at the Masters Golf Tournament, you know, perhaps even more visually attractive than Amen Corner, because instead of having the pond in front of the par three, let's add to this visual, Bill. There's a swimming pool out there.
If you're looking down, it's not the muddy water of the pond, but it's the icy blue water, and it's got all these flowers, these dogwood blossoms floating in the water, and it looks just like the pond in Giverny, France, where Monet painted all his water lilies and whatnot. This is a beautiful setting here in Atlanta.
You know, I imagine your pool guy might have a different opinion about those blossoms in the pool, but for the rest of us, it's a gorgeous setting, isn't it?
Gorgeous. Everybody should come visit Atlanta.
Hey, by the way, I'll extend an invitation to our guests. And Bill, you didn't know I was going to do this, so if you don't approve, I'll have to edit this out. One of my favorite dental meetings happens to be in Atlanta. It's called the Thomas P. Hinman, H-I-N-M-A-N. It was named after a leader in dentistry. It's the Thomas P. Hinman meeting. It happens usually in April every year. You know, Bill, we have listeners from throughout the United States, but also in 133 countries. I'm proud to announce that we now have listeners in 133 countries. So if you're listening to this and you've always wanted to travel to an absolutely gorgeous setting to go to a dental meeting, let me encourage you to come out and travel to the Hinman meeting. And I'll bet if Bill happened to be in town, he'd be happy to grab a cup of coffee with you or perhaps have breakfast or lunch with you. Bill, would that be all right if our guests, we'll give your email address at the end of the show, and I want to invite our guests to come out and meet you face-to-face sometimes, perhaps in conjunction with visiting the Hinman meeting.
Absolutely, Gary. We finished up the Hinman meeting here in Atlanta just 3 days ago.
Correct.
And we are always welcoming people in from all over the country, even all over the world.
You know, I like
it'd be a... It'd be a fun time to have your friends come and visit me in Atlanta.
You know, I love our big dental conferences and our big dental meetings, and there's so many great people that are involved in those meetings. But of all the different dental meetings that I've been to, you will not meet a more gracious set of people than the people that you meet at the Hinman meeting. You talk about Southern hospitality, and it is there in full force. Would you agree, Bill?
That's what we're known for, and we're proud of it, and we want to extend a welcome hand to everyone.
You know, I'm going to, for the benefit of our listeners that may not be familiar with you, of course, most of our listeners will already be familiar with you, but if not, I want to take a minute and talk a little bit about your biography, a little bit about your background. Bill, would you listen in and keep me honest?
I'll be straight with you.
Fair enough. Hey, Bill is a graduate of the Medical College of Georgia School of Dentistry many years ago. He has a mastership in two different academies. He has a mastership in the Academy of General Dentistry and also a mastership in the International College of Craniomandibular Orthopedics. You've studied under some of the most respected mentors in dentistry. I'll just rattle off a few of the names. Rick Mercer, where we first met over 30 years ago. Dr. Omar Reed, Dr. Dick Barnes, Dr. Armand Morin, and Glazier Kennedy, to name just a few. But you've studied, Bill, you've literally taken thousands of hours of continuing education on people that would be considered the masters of dentistry. You know, I'll add a few more to that. People like Frank Spear, people like Dr. Pankey. If I'm not mistaken, you had an opportunity to get down to the Pankey Institute early in your career or attended some Pankey courses early in your career, Dr. Peter Dawson and many, many, many others. I want to brag on Bill for just a minute. In addition to being a very successful practitioner, being an educator, by the way, Bill and I have had the privilege of sharing the podium together many times. In fact, the last time we were together face-to-face was in Hawaii. That wasn't a bad gig, was it, Bill?
Anytime I can be on a stage in Hawaii, I'm going to not complain.
Well, we were together on the stage in Hawaii. It was for the AACD, the American Academy of Cosmetic Dentistry. And I was honored to be the MC of a particular ceremony. The AACD has a wonderful charitable foundation called Give Back a Smile. And Give Back a Smile is all about helping women who have sadly experienced domestic abuse and helping them restore their lives and restore their smiles, perhaps when they've been a victim of domestic abuse. And at that particular occasion, I had the privilege of presenting a significant check to the Give Back a Smile Foundation. We were on the podium together for that cause. But that was the last time we were face to face. We've certainly had many other interactions since then, you know, virtually and digitally and by telephone, but that was the last time we were face to face. But I want to brag on you for just a second. In addition to all of his accomplishments, Bill has written a book. It's titled Marketing the $1 Million Practice. It launched about a year ago. It was published about a year ago, about 11 months ago. It launched as number one in Amazon for dental business or dental practice management category. And today, 11 months later, it's still number one in Amazon for business, dental business or dental practice management. Bill, did my description of your background do justice at all?
Well, you covered some of the basics. I really appreciate the mention, the dental part. Yeah, I'm just about as proud of what I do outside of dentistry, going to missions and things in Africa and working in our church. But I think you covered everything that was important about dentistry.
You know, I do want to emphasize that today Bill and Sheila are involved internationally in some wonderful missionary work that they've done in Kenya and more and recently Australia as well. And, you know, I think of Bill as being passionate about many things, but a couple come to mind. Number one, I know you're passionate about helping patients have great oral health. I think you discovered that passion early on, and that fire is still burning today. Is that accurate?
I started real early on with extra CE, and I found a secret to success was in the continuing education. I got really fired up about TMJ and orthodontics and started teaching as early as 1981, teaching my colleagues the head and neck pain question. Mm-hmm. And just kept moving forward with implantology, went through all the courses in that, Mish Institute and the AAID Maxi course. And just kept learning. Even today, I'm going to the systemic connection classes, mm-hmm. part of the American Academy of Oral Systemic Health.
Hey, gosh.
I don't think there's any end.
Yeah.
You just keep learning all your career.
You know, I bet you've never tallied it up, but I'd be curious to know what you've invested in continuing education over the years. I know it's a significant sum, and I know it's also been probably the best investment you've ever made.
Well, I did calculate it up a while back, and I'm over $1 million in educational expenses if you count the travel and mm-hmm. hotels plus the tuitions.
I have no doubt about that. A second passion of Bill's is helping his colleagues. I know that you really believe in the concept that the rising tide raises all boats, and you have been very faithful and diligent about helping your colleagues, and that's what we're talking about today. So, Bill, thanks for all that you do, and thanks for your passions, because there's so many things that our listeners can learn from you, and that's why I was so excited about having you on the show. Hey, shall we dive in?
Let's go.
All right.
In.
So, and I want to make a disclaiming statement before I dive right in. One of the things I love about Bill is that he's very humble by his character and by his temperament, by his personality. He's given me permission to talk about this and to share it with you. But it was about 15 years in practice when you found yourself virtually broke financially, virtually broke about 15, 16, 17 years in practice. And we'll talk about what happened and what precipitated that event. But then from there, you not only recovered, but you rebounded to start a practice from zero to $5 million in a very short period of time. Bill, would you share some of your story and some of your background with our listeners so they can get some context?
So you want me to share my pain before I tell you about my gain?
Well, you know, I think it's a compelling story, and it's a story that I believe that many of our listeners will resonate with many of our listeners. And I also believe that we may end up saving some pain in the process. What do you think?
I do. Well, I don't mind sharing at all. I write about it in my book in more detail, but I believe that if anybody can learn how to avoid some of the problems, then it would be worth the time I spend talking. And it's a valuable lesson. A couple of key points. I was doing very well compared to most of my colleagues, but the choice of location, in the end, it came to bite me. We had a murder on the corner of the same place where I had my practice in the late 80s and early 90s, and the neighborhood was going down, and I had a hard time keeping staff, and it was just a tough place to work, even though we had a good practice. And so I decided that it was time to move when that happened. It was just, you know, 15, 16 years in one location, and we were steady. But then when I tried to sell the practice, I found a buyer, and he eventually didn't succeed in the area either, and I got the practice back. And so at that time, I had to take a failing practice that he had just decimated, and I had to build it back up.
So two points I want to amplify there. One is this discussion about location. Bill, may I share a story from my client base about a challenging location?
Location.
Yeah, location. This is a client of mine who's since retired, but I have his permission to tell the story. This is in San Bernardino, California. And a doctor had attended one of my courses, and he asked, he wanted to work with me as a coach, as a consultant. And so as we were preparing for my visit, to come out and visit his practice for the first time, he said, "Gary, I know there's many things that I can learn from you, but one of the things I really want to pick your brain about is my location." His father was a dentist, and his father had built this practice many years before, built the building many years before. And Terry had, when he became a dentist, he practiced with his father for a couple years, and his dad retired, and now he was solo in this facility. And over the years, the neighborhood had changed. And he needed my guidance about whether it was time to relocate or not. What complicated this discussion, by the way, is that he was at that time about 50 years old. So he wasn't sure whether he wanted to go through the process of moving, you know, at this stage in his career. Anyway, I spent the night with him. He was kind enough to invite me as a guest in his house. I stayed in the guest room, and we drove in together the next day to visit his office. This is the first time I had visited his office. And Bill, I'm not exaggerating. We got within eyesight of his practice, and we noticed that there was a massive traffic jam red lights flashing everywhere. I think you can imagine that scene, Bill. As we navigated the traffic jam, as we got into the parking lot, we discovered that the commotion was directly in front of his dental office. And as we parked the car and walked in, we had to get permission to cross the police tape. There were about eight detectives on the door stoop of his building, and they were surrounding the chalk outline of what had been a dead body, a chalk outline. And apparently, sometime overnight, a murder occurred on his doorstep at his dental office. And I turned to Terry at that moment, and I said, "Terry, I believe that when we find a chalk line of a dead body on your doorstep, it's time to move." Would you agree with that, Bill?
It is. It's time to move to a new location, and it's also time to call Jack Bauer.
Yes. By the way, he did. He did move as quickly as possible. He moved 7 miles away. He continued to practice for a number of years, and I can't tell you how many times he thanked me for it wasn't a nudge. It was a more like a boot to his backside to move, because I encouraged him to move as soon as possible. And he did, and moved 7 miles away and had a very successful next stage of his career thanks to that move. So number one, move. If your location is going south, you had better be proactive about that and preventive about that, and not wait until it's too late. Secondly, the second lesson, Bill, that you shared is that probably not a good idea to be a banker if you're selling your practice, because the last thing in the world that you want is your practice back in default. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. There's a purpose for bankers, and dentists should not try to self-finance a practice sale.
And that time,
we'll come back.
In the late 80s and early 90s, bank financing was less common, less available. Today, it's a very different scenario. Bank financing is available if the buyer is creditworthy and if the transaction makes sense. So no need to be a banker today. Bill, carry the story forward. So here it was. You sold the practice. You're ready to move to the next stage. However, you got it back. You had to build it back up. What happened next?
Well, we really went into the prayer mode. I mean, we actually built the practice back up. We got it ready for sale. We brought in a new dentist who loved the place. He loved the he fit well with the practice, and we sold it for cash. Got our money, and then it was time to decide where to go. And we just prayed about where it was, and we studied every corner between Covington and North Atlanta, and we looked at every corner, and we just found a place that we thought was perfect, about 30 miles north of our previous practice. We opened up in a small little three-room office that had already been abandoned by another dentist, so it was not the greatest facility, but it was in a great location.
Mm-hmm.
And we just kind of built up from there, and we grew every year $500,000. And after 10 years, it had been a practice from three rooms to 10 to 15. So we grew quite a rapid rate.
Describe that practice today for our listeners. How big is it as far as square footage? How many treatment rooms? How many doctors? Talk a little bit about what that practice is today.
Well, most of the time we were three dentists. Once we got going, we kept adding dentists till we got to three. And then finally, the last year, we added four. And so we were four dentists, 15 operatories, and about 9,000 square feet. And that's a luxurious amount of space for four dentists to mm-hmm. have that much room. So we weren't getting all over each other trying to find a room to work in too much.
Do you notice, by the way, that sometimes doctors, in an attempt to control their overhead, might end up being in too small of a space?
Yeah, that's one of the biggest challenges that any dentist has to maximize their earning potential, is that they think too small to begin and lock themselves into too small a space.
And yet we don't want to be irresponsible financially with overhead, and want to be careful about not having too much space. You don't want to feel like you're in some kind of a warehouse. So there is some kind of a balance there as well.
Yeah, I was very fortunate in that I chose a situation where I could expand as I needed it, mm-hmm. and it worked out for me that I could take over more space as I needed it, and I could also buy the building eventually and renovate the entire thing, which is what I did.
Ah, so you were initially a tenant. You were leasing space. Is that correct?
That's right.
And you had the ability to expand into adjacent space as you grew, and ultimately you were able to buy that building.
That's exactly what I did. I was the lead tenant, and so I had pull. Anytime another client that was in the building left, I could take their space, and that's exactly what I did.
Ah, very, very cool. So from a scratch start to over $5 million in less than 10 years, if I'm doing my math right, is that correct?
That's right.
So we're going to talk a little bit about what you did, you know, to grow it from scratch to $5 million. One of the things I really appreciate about you, and I think it's a good lesson for our listeners, Bill, is the goal of having balance in your life. Can you speak a little bit to the goal of having balance?
When I teach and when I talk to dentists, one of the primary things I want to get across to them, because they always are attracted to my numbers, my financial bottom line, the production, the scope of practice. But really what I want to talk about is how to have a balanced life and not put all your eggs in that one basket of work where you exclude your family, your personal self, you know, as far as health and mental stability, and also your worship. You know, you need to be centered with your life has to be have foundation on a solid rock, and you can't just be working, doing things because you feel like this is the way to go. You need to have groundedness. So I talk a lot about how to be balanced and how to give to the charities of your choice, how to spend time serving the community, how to take care of your family, know your kids. All that's more important than actually making a bunch of dollars.
Would certainly agree with that. And I know, you know, myself included, I don't mind admitting that I'm OCD. Bill, you already knew that though, right?
I know where you come from.
I don't mind admitting I am OCD. I am obsessive compulsive. I believe I used to say, if you looked up my name, you know, in Webster's dictionary, you'd find my picture next to OCD. Today, that's an outdated process. If you Google or if you look me up on Wikipedia, I believe you'll see my picture next to the term OCD. And I don't mind admitting that. And I struggle with balance. I believe I'm doing a better job of it today than I ever have in the past, but I have struggled with that.
We all see the light eventually, don't we?
Yeah. You know, Bill, you've written what I mentioned is the number one bestseller in dentistry on Amazon. And one of the things you talk about in that book are some of the numbers, you know, in practice. And you've published some information about, you know, average dentist production and such. In fact, in your book, you talked about how, and these would be exceptional numbers as they are, but you talked about how, you know, average successful dentist production is about $3,500 a day, which would compute to about $750,000 a year in production. But you make the statement that that is just not a satisfactory number. Can you talk a little bit about that and perhaps inspire our listeners to maybe reach a little bit higher?
Well, I see dentists from all across the country, and I see their numbers. I know what they do. And I do know that the average dentist, just not your superstar, but your average dentist is just ticking along at 3,000 to 5,000 a day. And if they reach the 5,000 average per day, they're feeling real good because they've got $1 million practice.
And let me clarify something too, Bill, and this comes from my data, and correct me if you know differently, but the numbers that you're talking about would clearly be exceptional when we compare them to numbers that come from the American Dental Association. For example, the American Dental Association says that even in 2014, the average practice produces and collects less than $600,000 a year. And that includes our hygiene production. That's not just the doctor production, but that's our hygiene production. So I believe, Bill, the people we encounter, the people that you meet at courses, the people that I meet at courses, the people that are listening to this podcast, by virtue of investing in learning and education, they tend to be the exceptional ones. They're not the average struggling ones. You know, that practice, that 600, I'll just pick a number, Bill, that $600,000 practice that according to the ADA has average practice overhead of 74% according to the ADA, will only leave a net income of about $150,000 a year pre-tax. Now, $150,000 a year, Bill, is not going to put you in the soup line. But can we agree that that's not a fair compensation for your education, for your skill, for your professional abilities?
I feel that a business with all the expenses, the overhead, like a dental office, really can't operate at such a low level and pay the owner, who is the investor, back a return on investment that's compensated by his amount of education. I mean, we work with our hands and we produce because we're the producer, but we're also the owner. And if we're the owner, we need to get a return on investment that's far more than what we're typically getting if you're only doing a 600,000 type practice.
Now let's dial it up. Let's take that $800,000 practice, because you know the numbers that you're talking about, $3,000 to $5,000 a day will lead to that $800,000 practice. By many benchmarks, by our association, our dental association definition, that would be a very successful practice. But if that practice is, if that dentist is stuck at $800,000 a year with 25% profit, then they're just not being compensated at the level that they should be. And I know one of the reasons why you wrote the book was to help show doctors that there is a better way. There's another way. And so, Bill, I'll put you on the spot here for just a minute. So imagine our listener, and I'm just hypothetical, I'll just put numbers there. Imagine our listener, hypothetical listener, is in that $800,000 practice. He or she is stuck, kind of plateaued at that level, and they want to, they know they need to grow further. Maybe they have 75% overhead like the ADA average. That's too high, by the way. I shoot for 60% overhead in our client base, 60%, ideally 50, but 60 will be a good first target. But that listener that's at 800 with 75% overhead, what are some good ways for that dentist to grow beyond that point at which they're stuck?
Well, in my book, I write 27 steps to follow to grow your practice $500,000 a year. And if I had to take those 27 marketing techniques and boil them down to two general categories of things I would recommend, they're all systems related. One is that I would take the king of all the systems I have. That's a tracking system of numbers, and it's a process that you use to keep everything in perspective. And it's dealing with the KPI, or of course, everybody knows the key performance indicators.
Well, Bill, let me pause here for just a second. I love the language that we're using here, because you and I speak the same language, KPIs, key performance indicators. But I would challenge you a little bit on that. And I would say that many dentists have yet to learn that phrase, key performance indicators. So start from a view from 30,000 feet. What is a KPI? For those that are introduced to that phrase for the first time, what is a KPI?
Well, it's like having a dashboard where you can see how your office is performing by looking at it, and you can see how many things are happening that are good. It's like having a red light, a green light, and a yellow light. Mm. And if it's in the green, everything's good. Your key performances are working. If you see something in the red, means you better pay attention to it, because you're not getting enough new patients, for instance.
Independently, Bill and I came up with this very same format. I'm using 24 KPIs, Bill. You suggested 27. And by the way, I'd love to add those three to mine, so we'll talk more about that. But regardless, independently, with Bill on his own track and me on my track, I came up with 24 KPIs. I put those in a dashboard for our clients, and on a monthly basis, we track 24 specific categories. We then color code them, because I wanted to have something graphic and visual that clients could understand very quickly. We then color code them using the stoplight analogy of red, yellow, green. We found that the most useful way to visually demonstrate this data was a bar graph. And we'll put a bar graph for each one of the 24 categories, and we'll color the bar graph either in red, yellow, or green. So if the KPI happens to be on goal, the bar graph will show as green. Bill, if it's close but not quite there, it'll show up as yellow. And if we're not there at all, it'll show up as red. It sounds like you and I independently came up with a similar methodology of which we analyze the data. How cool is that?
I think we have the same DNA. Must be
brothers from a different mother.
So one of the other techniques I use is from Brad Sugars, the Australian business guy that I trained with for 4 years in action coaching. I take a lot of mentors into my sphere, and I follow them for typically 2 or 3 years. And Sugars was so good, I followed him for 4 or 5 years. And he taught me something called the 5-way system of increasing profits. And so we track the conversion of all our patients as they come through the practice. As they go from one stage of the practice to another, we know when we have success moving them up the chain or through the funnel, as you say, from examination all the way to the consultation, into the hygiene, right on out to the treatments, and then into the recall.
Very cool. And then you're able to track them all the way through that process, literally from your first engagement all the way through the maintenance stage, if you will.
Right. And we're actually looking at them before they come to our practice as potential patients. We're tracking people, how they find us, you know, the marketing tools and techniques we use. We know how they found us. We know how to spend our marketing dollars and get better return on investment because of that.
Mm. Hey, let's take a detour down the marketing discussion for just a minute, Bill. I know in your book that you spend quite a bit of time talking about marketing. In fact, it's in the title, Marketing the Million Dollar Practice. And I believe that one of the things, one of the major points that differentiates, say, that ADA average practice at $600,000 and an exceptional practice that is producing and collecting more than $1 million a year, I believe the difference is the dentist's skill at developing marketing skills. Would you agree with that? And would you talk a little bit, if so, will you talk a little bit about some marketing knowledge that our listeners need to command?
Well, you can reinvent yourself at any time in your career. And I started over at age 48, and I made kind of like a comeback. And I was more successful by three times than I had been in my previous practice. And it all relates to marketing. I didn't have any more knowledge. I just had a better location, and I applied marketing principles to get known. And so one of the first things I did was what I termed web-centric marketing. All the marketing processes that I got involved in, because I went beyond the yellow pages, I went into internet, which was in its infancy back then.
Was that was right after Al Gore invented the internet, right?
Yeah, Al Gore came and asked me about it, and I said, "Yeah,
it's a good idea.
This is how you do it."
And actually, that story could have a basis in truth, in that Al was one state north of you. I could see you and Al meeting together at a mastermind, and I could see you advising Al Gore that creating the internet was going to be a good thing. Of course, everybody listening to this knows that my tongue is firmly planted in my cheek. Al Gore did not invent the internet, but.
Well, we were computerized in 1981 in our practice, and I got on the internet in the mid-80s.
Okay, pause that right there for just a second. I want everyone to hear this. Bill, your first computer in your office was in 1981. Is that correct? Did I hear that right?
That's right.
Okay. And you were on the internet sometime in the 1980s. Is that correct?
That's right.
Okay,
it was not called the internet back then, but I had a dial-up modem.
It was probably a bulletin. It was an electronic bulletin board of some sort.
It was an electronic bulletin board, and I was all over the internet collecting email addresses in the early 90s.
And I know this because Bill and I have known each other all these years, and we are fellow geeks. I hope you're not offended by the fact that I just labeled you a geek, Bill. I'm using that as a term of endearment. Is it okay if I call you a fellow nerd and a fellow geek?
I'm proud to be a geek. I think that's an honor to me.
I wear it as a badge of honor as well. I don't mind. I did take off the tape on the bridge of my glasses. I will make that clarification just for appearance sake. But I don't mind being referred to as a nerd. At one time, that was a derogatory term. Today, it's no longer derogatory. But I've been one since I was probably out of the womb. And I know you probably have been too. So I just want our listeners to understand this basis of knowledge, because you were on electronic bulletin boards before some of our listeners were born.
Yeah, I was a webmaster for other dentists as I was starting my new practice up in Suwannee here. I didn't have any patients, and I had a lot of free time. And so my first year of practice, I only worked 3 days a week, and 2 days a week I was building websites for other dentists.
Ah, very cool. Hey, I want to, given that we just talked about technology a little bit, Bill, you have just developed something very, very cool. It's called the 5M Masters Academy. And I assume, correct me if I'm wrong, but I assume 5M stands for 5 million.
That's correct, Gary. I didn't want to put that in the title of my book because nobody would believe it and they wouldn't buy the book.
So you just talked about the million-dollar practice.
Right.
Because people might believe that.
That's believable. You know, Omer taught me if it's been done, it's probably possible.
Uh-huh. And you've done it. You've done it from scratch. By the way, at a later stage in your career, if I have the timeline right, you are now in your late 40s, maybe even approaching 50 years old?
I started over at age 48.
There you go. At zero.
Zero. I started over completely from scratch. No patients, no following, nothing.
So you've developed this academy, the 5M Masters Academy, and I want you to talk a little bit about that with our listeners, because it is a super cool way for our listeners to really gain this information in a very practical way. We have listeners in 133 countries. You know, you and I have shared many podiums together, and I lost track of how many air miles I have, Bill, but I believe the number, by the way, is I have over 8 million air miles. Can you believe that, Bill?
Yeah, I think you've got about 5 million more than me.
Yeah, I've got about 8, and that's not an exaggeration. I have about 8 million air miles. Today I travel somewhere around 250,000 miles a year to speak at dental meetings and to speak to dental audiences. And as useful as that is, and I love that, Bill, and I know you do too, let's also realize that maybe there's another way for people to learn from the convenience of their home. Talk a little bit about the 5M Masters Academy and why we'd like to invite our listeners to get on board with this.
Well, I've been teaching dentists since 1981, different things, starting with TMJ and orthodontics. I got into practice management somewhere in the early 90s. And I like that part. And so I tend to focus on how to build practices and how to grow practices instead of technical things nowadays. And it's just, it's been a joy to share with people how they can improve their practice, their life, find more balance. When I'm looking to help somebody, you know, it's just, it's different for every dentist. And so first you have to learn to listen. Second, you have to learn to analyze and then give them a couple of suggestions. It'll help them over the hump that they're facing right now.
So your members of your academy will perhaps be at a point where they are ready to take that practice to the next level.
Yeah, most of my guys take my class online. It's evergreen, and they don't have to take it on any particular day. They just sign up and become a member. They can take it on their own pace, but they're typically fairly mature dentist, and they can take their practice from, say, $1 million to $2 million. I've had a $6 million practice take my class, so it's not just that it's small practices. And I've had rookies start up right out of school taking it. But the main guys take it are those who have tried it on their own. They just don't seem to be able to get going beyond, and they need some help to get to the next level.
Mm. Now, Bill, wouldn't you have loved to have this information fresh out of dental school?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we had to figure it out all by ourselves. But, you know, I did go to Quest, and that was the leaping point from average to super growth. Our acceleration started in Quest, and that was based on a lot of the things that Omar Reed taught, Gary McLeod and Ron McConnell. So I'm kind of on the backs of giants when I teach. I teach what I learned from those guys. You were part of that whole thing, and you know, we were all learning in the 80s exactly what we're teaching today. A lot of the guys out there now have no access to what we went through back in the 80s and 90s. So we're kind of reviving a lot of the golden era of dentistry.
And adapting it to today's world, today's digital world. You know, but you're right, some of the masters, you know, Omar Reed, Avram King, Will Southam up at the group at Cox up in Toronto, you know, Dr. L.D. Pankey on the clinical side. Some of these masters, I really believe in carrying their work forward and adapting it to 2015 and beyond. And Bill, you've done a fabulous job of that. So as I understand it, the 5M Masters Academy is evergreen. They can access it 24/7, 365. And as long as they have an online connection, they can access it. You have a massive amount of content. I think when we talked about this in our pre-show discussion, you've got somewhere around 24, 25 hours worth of content in the Masters Academy.
Yeah, Gary, I break it up into 12 modules. The modules are teaching exactly what I did to grow my practice from zero to 5.8 million. I don't leave anything out. I talk about every step. And I've even got a thing called the Gold Key List, which is a sequential step-by-step plan of how to do it in order to achieve a result. And I break it down into modules that each has a section where you can listen to 20 minutes or 30 minutes at a time, digest it and come back, and you know right where you are.
Ah, very cool. So we can kind of fit it into our busy lifestyles.
I think that's the only way, and you're going to have to get your staff involved. You're going to have an office manager who digs in and gets part of this. It's not all about the dentist doing all the work. I don't think any dentist could do it by himself. It's always going to take an amazing effort by the staff to accomplish what we did.
Very cool. And I know because it's available digitally, it's actually very affordable when we look at the value of that education, you know, from zero to $5.8 million. And you basically walk them through it step by step. Anybody at any stage in their career, I'm thinking of a young dentist that's maybe just starting, can use that to really propel their practice forward. A doctor that maybe is 3 or 4 years out of school could use that to launch their practice into the stratosphere. Doctor that's mid-career could use that to break the possible glass ceiling and the stall that happens often at mid-career. And doctors late career can use that to really make the latter years of their practice their most productive and most enjoyable. Bill, I'll put you on the spot. What's the investment for 5M Masters Academy?
Well, when I first started teaching it, I put it out there for a couple of years at $5,000 per 12 sessions, and I had a lot of people take the class. But the drawback was I was teaching it live, and I was doing it where everybody had to show up at the same time. And that was great, but it kind of was something that technologically and time-wise, it didn't work for some people to log on to the internet and be live on a webinar. So after a few years, we decided to put it on tape and make it something that was available 24/7 whenever people want to take the class, and they can digest it at their pace, and we've had a lot more people get involved since we got it easily more user-friendly, I guess.
Mm-hmm. And they can digest it at their time.
So the cost now I put down at $19.97, quite a big bargain.
So for less than $2,000, our listeners can really learn every step to take their practice from zero, as you've done, to zero to $5.8 million. I think that would be considered a very wise investment. Bill, I'm going to put, I know a lot of our listeners would like to get in touch with you, but before we list your email address and your website address, I'll put you on the spot. Is it okay if I put you on the spot, Bill?
Bullseye or on the spot?
I'm going to put you in the hot seat. Is that all right? And by the way, if you don't get the right answer, we can always edit. But somehow I think you might get the right answer. Is it okay if I put you on the spot?
Okay.
All right. Bill, would you consider coming back on the Thriving Dentist Show and talking in detail about the steps that it takes to take a practice from zero to $5.8 million? Would you consider coming back for that?
Give me about 10 seconds to think about that. Okay, I'll do it.
All right.
Under one condition.
Tell me.
The guys listening have to be serious about wanting to grow their practice. If you're gonna put it out there that they're going to hear details about the 12 steps, I just want to talk to the serious people that really want to grow. I don't have time to mess around, you know. I'm 65. And I want to teach people that really want to know something.
Yeah. Well, hey, we'll put that out as a disclaimer at the very beginning of the show that if you want some get-rich-quick, panacea, or you're not willing to put in the effort, hit stop now. Was that fair enough, Bill?
Yeah, I think it takes some serious intention to go to 5 million. I mean, I've talked to a lot of dentists who would like to have a $1 million practice, and I think you could easily show somebody how to do that in about 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. That is not hard. But to go to 2 million, 3 million, that's going to take some effort.
Yeah.
So we'll talk all about that.
Awesome. Hey, Bill, I know that many of our listeners would like to get in touch with you. Would you let our listeners know your website address and also your email address?
If you'd like to email me, it's drbillwilliams@gmail.com. Very simple. My name @gmail.com. And then the website for my consulting is solsticedentaladvisors.com. Solstice is like the summer solstice. Dental Advisors, and Advisors is the ORS spelling of advisors.com.
Awesome. I'll be
glad to see you guys.
I'll put both of those in the show notes. So if you're driving, don't worry. We'll have those in the show notes. So again, Bill's email address is drbillwilliams@gmail.com. And the website address is the name of his consulting firm, which is the host of the 5M Masters Academy. It's Solstice, S-O-L-S-T-I-C-E. Dental Advisors, ADVISORS.com. But I'll put those in the show notes. Hey, let me extend an invitation too as a listener. Reach out to Bill. Bill is someone you need to know. You need to know. Reach out to him. Send him an email. Let him know how much you appreciated the information that he shared on Thriving Dentist Show. Pick his brain. You need to be in Bill's circle. I have been in Bill's circle for over 30 years, and my life is better for it, and yours would be too. One of the things I love about the Thriving Dentist Show is introducing my listeners to mentors and to people that can make a radical difference in their life. Bill, you're one of those people. I want to pause here, take a minute, and say thank you, Bill. I sure appreciate you. This morning, as at the breakfast table, I turned to my wife and I said, Hey, Trace, you know who I'm interviewing today for the Thriving Dentist Show? And she said, who? And I said, Bill Williams. She said, awesome. Tell him I said hello. So hello from my wife, Bill.
we go way back, and it's such a pleasure.
My wife tended to your two boys during one of the visits that we had together way back when your boys were very young. I think they were in diapers at that stage, but my wife tended to your boys. That goes way back. I think that was in Santa Barbara many years ago. But do you remember that?
Yeah, you know, my two boys now are 30 and 33, and Justin is living in England, married to a British lady that's a psychologist, and they've got a nice online business also.
Very cool.
Tyler's Zig Ziglar trainer, and he's following along kind of in your footsteps as a consultant.
Well, I'm gonna give my wife an update because she remembers when those two guys were in diapers. Bill, thanks for all that you do. Thanks for your commitment to dentistry. Thanks for your commitment to your patients, and thanks for your commitment to your colleagues. Sure appreciate you, and it's been a wonderful friendship that just goes on.
Gary, it's a pleasure being on the Thriving Dentist, and I just pray that every one of your listeners has a thriving practice because they know exactly where to find the information. They come back to your show over and over again because you've always got some really interesting characters.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Hey, if you're a regular listener to the Thriving Dentist Show, let me say thanks to you. We appreciate you. We love what we do here at the Thriving Dentist Show, but we couldn't do what we do if it wasn't for you. I have a couple of requests, simple requests. They're free. It's not going to cost you anything. One is, if you like the show, write us a review on iTunes. We currently have quite a number of reviews, but would like even more. The more reviews we have, the more likely it will help other dentists find the show. So take a minute. You know, perhaps you're driving, you're working out, but when you get back to your desk, go to iTunes. Look up the Thriving Dentist Show. You can click on the icon, and you can see where you can write a review. The second request that I have is connect with me. The best place to connect with me is on Facebook and Twitter on my social media channels. So look me up on Facebook, Gary Takis. You'll see my funny looking bald head with my granddaughter, Juliana. It's my 6-year-old granddaughter. And hey, friend request me. I'll friend you back. I promise. Bill, you and I are friends on Facebook, but friend me. I'll friend you back. And then if you're a Twitter person. I love Twitter, by the way. Follow me on Twitter. My Twitter handle is Gary_Takacs, T-A-K-A-C-S. Follow me and I'll follow you back. On that note, let me simply say thank you. We appreciate you here at the Thriving Dentist Show. I look forward to connecting with you on the next show.
When you cry, be sure to dry your eyes, 'cause better days are sure to come. When you smile, be sure to smile wide, and don't let them know that they have won. And when you walk, walk with pride, don't show the hurt inside, because the pain will soon be gone. And when you dream, dream big, as big as the ocean blue. When you dream, it might come true. When you dream, dream big.